Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show.
Yes, we're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news, Apple news, whatever you want to call it, and I have a Steam panel with me. Steaming panel, maybe. Top left... The old stager himself, Foxy, is joining us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right. I'm a steaming pile of panel today.
Panel. Panel turd. Panel team. Hey, how are you doing, mate?
I'm very well.
Kept up on the Mac news?
Some of it.
No. Good man.
Only like the top four. I'm hoping you're not going to go any further down the list.
Nice to see you clean shaven, mate. Totally good. Yes. Next to him from the Philippines, way past his bedtime, but he's stepping up for us. Carl Swagger, how are you doing, bud?
I'm well. It's been a good week, except for Logic.
Yes, NBA's kicked off, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, NBA's been going now for a couple of weeks now, yeah, so it's full-on recording. That's what pissed me off about Logic this week.
And what's Logic done to you?
It just freezes. I finally had to reinstall twice, and I think it's finally behaving itself properly now.
Now is this the one off the Mac App Store, or...?
No. This is the one from the discs and everything that I had to convert over and do into a USB and all that crap. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that might be part of the problem too. But yeah. I was this close to throwing the Mac Mini across the room.
You want to steal it, mate? Just download it off news groups.
The views.
No comment.
Said
no comment.
On this network are there's a viewing ranking.
No, if you bought it, give another go. Next to him, Kelly Gamont, birthday girl. How you doing, hey, birthday everybody. Girl? Happy birthday.
Just rolled out of bed, basically, because it's early in the morning here. So, otherwise, doing good.
And what did the birthday bunny bring you?
Nothing yet.
No.
Again, it's still...
Nothing yet? Is he still asleep, then?
No, he's off to work.
What, so he hasn't said happy birthday and given you a present before he left?
No, I got happy birthday, and I got an extra smooch before he left for work.
Well, we don't need to know about this. It's a family show.
We'll be a bigger family show soon.
We're talking about what gifts you got, not what favors you got, girl.
So far, nothing. So, tonight, because there's like dinner and people and all kinds of stuff. So, we'll see how it goes then.
Well, I hope your husband likes the helping a cold shoulder you're going to give him later when he gets home. And making a welcome return, a man who is a legend, but had a few weeks off. But he's back now, Mr. Green.
Listen, yeah.
Where have you been, boy?
Well, I've been trying to get British Mac back on track, and I'm pleased that I've knocked out a few in the nicest possible way.
Good lad.
Yes. Didn't I tell you about Forster? Like, I must have missed that part.
You did. We never liked him. He was the child killer, wasn't he?
I told you never to trust him, and he's gone, isn't he? There he is.
Chat room screaming, greedy.
Yeah.
You're back, buddy.
But it's nice to be back.
You don't need to wait for an invite to come on this show, by the way. You're a founding member.
No, I never have waited for an invite. I just I'll just sort of storm my way in. As I said, I've been trying to get British Mac back on track, and it's almost up to speed.
Good lad. This show is like
up to speed, isn't it?
This show has four park benches, mate. One with Mr. McAllister's name on, one with Mr. Swagger's on, one with DHM's and one with yours on. And they are your park benches, but you can give them up for other people to sit in occasionally.
That's rather nice, isn't it? That's a nice pun, if you think about it that way. Are they all, like, together? Or are
they're in a line. They're in a line, all facing each other, perhaps, though. Round a courtyard. They're all facing each other around a courtyard.
In a big square?
Yeah, but there's a big sign up that says, no ball gooms.
Okay.
And don't walk across the grass.
Which hill are we sitting on?
We could have a view.
It's a grassy knoll, isn't it?
Pimlico Hill, yeah, something like that. Looking out across London.
Well, I like the what's the one that looks out of London where a lot of the films are set? What's that one called?
I thought that was Pimlico, wasn't it?
No,
you're talking about the one over in Hampstead.
Hampstead Heath.
Yeah.
Hampstead Heath. That'll do.
I don't want to go there. That's where men have sex in bushes.
Exactly. It's the cottage and capital of London.
Oh, charming. Okay, so we start the podcast again. And last...
I mean, love is all good and all that. I just don't want to have sex in a bush. with a strange man. That's all I'm saying. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, you prefer introductions first.
But one that's not strange, it's totally fine.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
And last but by no means a priest, Dr. Happy Mac, how are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, and I only have sex in luxury hotels with more than 10 floors.
So you never get it then?
It's a line that I'm not prepared to cross.
I've looked at your office there behind you, mate, and how much of it is yours and how much of it is the missus's, mate, and...
What, in percentage terms?
I have 60-40?
Yeah, I have about 85. She has 15% me, 85% curtain making.
It's 60-30 and there's 10% you'll never know about.
there's curtain stuff under the desks.
I've got to say, she's a bit of a slob, your missus.
Right.
It's not exactly tidy, is it?
Are you prepared to wait till she comes back?
I'll say it. She doesn't know where I live.
I'll call her in from ceaselessly cleaning the house from the rest of us slovenly scum that live with her. I'll call her back in so that you can tell her that...
Ewan says... It was him. It wasn't me. Don't blame me. Don't shoot the messenger.
He's going to be looking for a 10-floor hotel soon.
Exactly. I sleep in 10-floor hotels all the time, mate. I have loads of sex. Just don't tell the wife. Right.
You know...
What? Go on.
I was going to say, couple of points.
Oh, dear.
If you stop in a hotel... I was in an Apple paid for it, which was nice of them, in the Manchester... what's that big horrible... It's like all... black and red hotel, Malmaison.
Right.
And in the middle of the night, there was a fire alarm thing. And so everybody had to get out of the hotel. And I couldn't find the evacuation thing, the fire exit. And it was really, really scary. And so my advice, if you're stopping in a hotel, and this I do this every time now since then, is check out where the fire exit is. And number two, Primrose Hill.
Primrose Hill. See, I knew it was P. Pimlico.
No, that's not Primrose. Quite as seedy as Hampstead Heath.
I don't mind Hampstead. You might meet George Michael on Hampstead Heath, so that'd be nice.
You can't believe. I've had emails from people saying, where's Greeny? We really miss Greeny. Greeny's loads of fun. He comes out and gives us a public information film.
I have given you public
Charlie information. Charlie says, don't cross the road without looking both ways.
Unless you know the Green Cross Code.
Could save your life.
Thanks, mate. I shall, from now on, I will no longer just fall asleep in my hotel bed. I will look where the exits are first.
Good. There and is... the other thing I'd like to point out in my absence is, what's his name?
Who?
The bloke I fancy from Apple. What's his name?
Forstall.
Johnny Ive.
Johnny Ive.
Johnny Ive.
Yeah.
You see, I should be on the board of Apple. A, I said Forstall, you wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
No. You did say that. I'll credit you with that one.
Sack him. Johnny Ive is the future of Apple, right? And they've made him the future of Apple.
Yeah.
Whether he wanted to be or not.
Exactly. And Fatty Phil upset me when he got thinner, but I'm pleased to say now he's back to his rotund self.
What about Big Bob? Are you happy Big Bob's still around?
Yes, I am. He's a nice guy. I like his... It's all about people's faces. If you don't like their face, then...
And what were your views now that... Because we did warn Mr. Forsman about... what's his face? The Dixon's bloke who went over.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, you could tell he was for the chop, couldn't you? I mean, he messed up straight away, pretty much, isn't it? So it was... Are they still looking for somebody to fill that?
Yes. Yeah, well, are they getting Ron Johnson back now that he's cocking it up at JCPenney?
He's still there because they've revamped it, so I don't know. John Browett, who's who you guys are talking about.
Browett, that's the one.
So if you were, if you were like out with your good lady wife in front of a really good popular tourist spot or an attraction like the Iron Bridge itself, and you wanted a glorious photograph of you and your wife and your children with the Iron Bridge behind you, and Scott Forstall walked past, would you say to him, "Can you take my camera?" And would you trust him with your camera to take a photograph?
No, I wouldn't. Not a chance. I'd wait, right? I wouldn't ask him. As he walked past, I'd go, wanker, like that. I said, a cough. Wanker, like that. That would do it.
You're a liar, Greeny, because I've been on that bridge with you, and when you get anyone on that bridge, the only thing that comes out of your mouth is how to pee over the edge so that the lights that are underneath illuminate your golden stream. That is all you come out with on that bridge. Every time I've crossed it, it's like my old man telling a joke for the last 30 years. As soon as we're on that bridge, you're talking about pissing over the edge so that you catch the light and your stream shows up better.
And what? The secret messages hidden in the framework from underneath. That's another one he goes
on. I haven't heard that one.
Oh, dear.
I only get the pee story.
But it is 5 o'clock in the morning where none of us can actually stand up anymore.
Now, Will, while we're on the subject of peeing off the Iron Bridge Bridge, yes. You've got a Christmas party coming up. Would you like to plug it?
I certainly have. Yeah, it's the... Is it the 15th?
It's your party, dude.
Well, I can't remember.
It's the 15th, yes.
It's the 15th. It's at the studios. We're doing what I'm going to do. It's going to be obviously a very cultural party, but in total seriousness, it's going to be a family friendly. Well, when I say family friendly, it's
for the first half hour anyway.
Yeah, no, it's the start will be family friendly, and then obviously it'll get more adults as the night goes on. I mean that in a nice possible way. It's not like a huge orgy or something like that. What I mean is.
Dude, you were going to have people coming if you just stuck at the fact you're going to have a little bit of a party, but no, you've ruined it now.
Oh, well, it's...
there's kids and there's no orgy.
It's at the studio. It'll be loads of booze. It's free to come, and that's got a whole different meaning.
Exactly. Yeah,
well, I've got room 5 booked already at the time.
Is Jimmy Savile coming?
Oh, don't know.
Oh!
Jesus, do you want to start again and I'll edit? Greeny, you've got a party at your place coming up, haven't you?
Yes, I certainly have.
Would you like to plug it, mate?
Yes, I would. There's lots of free booze. There's going to be hot chestnuts. I might even knock up some cocktails, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, mate, you and Tom Cruise.
And then we're going to record a live podcast. Then we're going to wander down into Ironbridge. Do a bit of a pub crawl, and then finish up at the Curry House, probably stopping midpoint at the bridge to do to discuss the
to give a showering display.
Yeah, no, it's you that was. I it was a terrible thing to do personally. And you know the awful thing is,
go on, mate.
If you did do something like that from the top of the bridge, it looks fantastic looking downwards. But if you're a spectator below the bridge, you can't see anything. Isn't that a traffic chain?
No, because there's piss raining in your face.
No. If you... Oh, this is... Shall I go now?
Should we do any Mac news or not?
I think I'm going to send my ticket back.
So, Greeny has got a party on the 15th of December at... the British Mac Studios in Ironbridge or near Ironbridge, which you can drive to, but you can't get a taxi back from if you've got a dog. And we're going to have beer and stuff like that there. And then there's going to be a curry at the, is it the Aftab or something like that? Or the Aftab?
Yeah, it's good.
Aftab, there we go.
We were banned from there.
No. And we went last year. Alex drove up on three wheels in Carl Madden's car with Steve Neighbour pissed in the back. And... I drove him. I was sober, actually. I didn't drink at all that night. I drove home.
You were miserable.
I was. Well, I took part in the podcast that you didn't even bloody publish.
Because it was you. It was your fault. Look, me sitting in the corner grumbling away like an old man. I can't put this out. I don't want to ruin the reputation of the wonderful Mr. Rankin.
I want to know if I can kip at your place, mate.
I've told you you can.
All right. In the studio.
Room 5, you coward.
Not 5. I'm not having room 5 at the Tontine.
I've already got it.
Oh, blimey. Supposedly the haunted room at the Tontine House Hotel, so.
Which is the nearest 10-story hotel to your house?
Telford.
Oh, man. Oh, this podcast and all the others is sponsored by...
iPiss. Sponsored by iPiss.
Oh, hello, Kyle.
iPiss Hotels. That's it. Oh, dear. The iPiss Hotels.
That's probably...
all of them 9 floors or less.
Oh, no. They wouldn't, they just wouldn't sell those rooms. You wouldn't sell those rooms, Kelly.
So do you live... IMAX, he said manfully, trying to get back on...
iMacs are being delayed. Apparently, the welding technique... Apparently, the welding technique that they're using is really difficult. It's advanced welding technology, or AWT. AWT. And they can't get the things to work. So there's going to be huge delays to this thing. They're talking after Christmas, which has got to really hurt.
There's going to be some real... I mean, what, are they going to go through the whole holiday season without selling any iMacs? That somebody's going to be righteously teed off.
Yeah.
Be Johnny
it's
Ive.
Going to be the investors.
Well, you would have thought they'd check this out.
By investors, you mean everybody who bought one for Christmas, right?
Well, who's ordered? Has anyone ordered one of these? Will, you order iMacs?
No, I haven't. Because, I mean, I can't imagine, performance-wise, they offer that much more than the previous. Yeah, a bit thinner at the edge, but that's about it, isn't it?
that's what DHM thinks.
Well, it's about the score, isn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, they look nice and stuff, but... And I mean, they're really clutching at straws when they said, oh, yeah, well, when we've moved the screen a little bit closer to the edge of the glass thing, is that it? I mean, you know...
Well, it's not either, though. It's still got a big black board around it.
No, they moved the TFT part of it, haven't they? Closer to the... Or...
To the glass, yeah.
Yeah.
But the board is the same.
I don't like the board. I think that's the way they're going to go with the next version of the iMac. Never like that big black border. And I don't like the big chin thing at the bottom with the Apple symbol. I mean, why bother? I mean, you might as well make it deeper and get rid of all that sort of rubbish around the edge, don't you?
Yeah, but what's going to glow?
Nothing glows on this, does it, apart from the screen?
Yeah, I thought my Apple sign glowed.
No, these are black. I don't think they glow at all.
Remember, so long since I bothered looking.
Apparently,
the real point is...
Oh, go on, Max. Sorry, mate.
I was going to say, the real point is, when did Apple turn from a company that was, you know, you basically, they said, we're going to launch something, and they had half a gazillion of them ready, and then they sold out overnight, to a company that basically has these great ideas, goes to put them out, hasn't tested it properly, and it doesn't work. I mean, this is something that is, this isn't new. This is becoming something that's becoming increasingly, happening increasingly often. I can't imagine a year ago Apple even dreaming of putting out something that wasn't, I mean, software that wasn't ready, but this is hardware that just basically intrinsically isn't ready. How can they not know that this thing won't weld properly? I mean, it strikes me as, I mean, honestly, they obviously knew about this before they got rid of certain people recently. It just sounds like they may need to get rid of a few other people as well because of, I mean, I know you like Johnny Ive, he may have designed this thing, but part of the point of design is it's got to be buildable.
You might as well have just asked for a crucifixion, mate.
Well, I mean... Whatever. But, I mean, in all honesty, what the hell is going on?
Just in time for Christmas, we'll have Johnny strewn up outside the front. Go on, DHM.
That is. Look, moan, bloody moan. Look at that. Sitting there grumbling away. It's only a slight glitch. It'll be sorted any minute, won't it?
It's only a slight glitch. They're not manufacturing them right now. That's just slight.
Yeah.
You'll get them with sellotape. To be fair. To stop them popping open.
No, there's not enough room. To be fair, though, Apple launched them a couple of weeks back, and they said that the 21 inches were going to ship by the end of this month and that the 27th was going to ship at the year end. So the fact these have been pushed back a month would make it next year. Mm. So
but it, also it's about keep a month in mind that perhaps. We haven't heard anything definitive. It's not like Apple's website has said anything. So this could just be another one of those sources familiar with the matter kinds of situations. So
to
we don't
be
know
fair,
for sure.
To be fair, this has come from a French website, and you know what we think about the French.
Hey.
Are you French?
No, I'm French in law. I married into it.
That doesn't count. God, he's gone to work.
Didn't get your birthday present. What should you
do? Exactly. That's what the French do. They don't get you a birthday present. Oh, bon année. No, that's Happy New Year. Well, for guys. Bon anniversaire. There we go. But they probably did wish you Happy New Year. Go on, sorry, DHM. So come back to the news, for God's sake.
The iPhone 5s aren't exactly flying out of the factory either, are they?
I don't think there's an awful lot selling particularly well at the moment because...
They can't really build the iPhone 5s fast. You know, the Foxconn have basically turned around and gone, you make this... I'm not going to do a racist Chinese accent. I'm not going to do one.
And thank you for that.
I am not a racist.
Is it just me, though, or does it seem like, I think Alex is actually onto a point here. It seems like, has Apple got too much in the pot right now? Are they trying to do too much at a time? We've got a new iPad. You've got new iMacs. You've got a 13-inch Mac Retina display. You've got the iPhone 5. You've got the iPad minis all at once. Did somebody just kind of just stop and think that, oh, crap, Christmas is coming up. We may not be able to meet demand?
You know, I think they've got the king of the supply chain, the man that is finger on the pulse with the factories, in the wrong job.
As the CEO?
Yep.
Yeah.
But he was supply chain in terms of logistics, though, really, more than production times.
No, but it's all about logistics.
Into, you know, why aren't these being made? That was his bag. He was all over that. And in the last year, it's gone to pot because he's busy being the CEO and he's a fantastic logistics and supply chain man. And I think this time next year, coming up to Christmas next year, we'll be talking about what a rubbish CEO Tim Cook is, if he's even still there.
Really? You think he's going to get the boot over this?
Ew. Oh, I don't think it'll go that far.
No, if you use Jesus Christ as the analogy here, he is Paul.
He's Paul's what?
This guy is going to be buried at the base of the Vatican 2,000 years from now. I mean, he is.
You know, honestly, though,
first disciple.
I don't think Tim is doing a very good job. Kermit Cook.
I think everything from Maps on upwards that Tim's been doing, I think the whole thing, the whole Maps thing, the whole Forstall out, the whole Mansfield. Obviously Mansfield had some kind of deal going on and picked the wrong guy. I just think since the summer, it's been, no, since Easter, it's been misstep after misstep.
Well, you know what?
I get grief for being anti-Apple. Wow. Jesus Christ.
I am the anti-Apple.
I'm not anti-Apple. I just think that he's in the wrong job.
But how much of that do you think he gave up to be CEO? Like, when they called him up to the show, do you think that that means that he's doing absolutely none of that anymore? Because I fully disagree.
I think he's just not doing enough of it.
There's a difference between doing nothing and having complete control over it. I mean, the logistics of Apple must be 90% of what makes the company run. And if he's being bothered with having to deal with sacking other people that aren't doing their jobs, you know, he sat back, he just got his head down and he did something particularly well. And now you're saying, well, sort of 20% of your time you can worry about that, but we want you to worry about, you know, who wrote the maps and who did this. It's a completely different personality. And I think his personality is he's a numbers man. He knows how to make the numbers. And I'm not talking about financial. He knows how to get the logistics working. It's a very different thing to get people running around and jumping through hoops for you. And that's what Steve Jobs was brilliant at.
The chat room has gone ballistic. Ooh, says Cyber Paul. Blasphemy, shouts Jinx. Hang him. Nail him up. Hang him with a Thunderbolt cable.
Amen.
But do you think that, you know, Apple's problem, and no other company in the world has got it at the moment, is their curve, which basically should have either leveled off or turned down, is still growing. And you know, that's something that I don't even think Apple were prepared for. There comes a point when you become so successful, you think, well, it's got to plateau or drop off. And I think what they're having to do, they're in a territory no one else has ever really been in tech-wise, where they've just got to keep trying to innovate past what's necessarily possible just to tread water, because they became so much better than everybody else. And what I think there's a tipping point, and the tipping point is they've had to push so hard that what made them really special, e.g. the quality and things like that, have just had to go from... It's like we talked the other day about cameras. There's tolerances. And when you get that close to the edge of being that dominant, the tolerances are so small that, you know, a 0.1% of a slip-up could make things start to tumble.
So what we need is bigger cases.
That's what we need, bigger...
Bigger cases with soldering.
Well, I think what they need to do in everything is to basically slow down and say, look, you know, we're going to put out one thing every 6 months. The iPad 4 was a good example. Just because it was ready, it wasn't the time to do it.
You're only bitter because you bought a 3 weeks prior.
I don't mind. But it's it's like these things, everything's being pushed too much. The tolerances aren't there. They're having to try so hard to stay because they are so much ahead of everyone else. If you say what Microsoft did with their Surface, they had a year to do this and it wasn't quite right on Windows 8. Take another year. It doesn't matter because you're not Apple. Apple are the only ones they just have to get things out and they have to be ahead of the curve so much that, I mean, it's not a position that I'd particularly want to be in. And I don't think they're cracks as such. I think they need to just pull back and take a breath, if you like, and just go back to a human type of effort rather than a superhuman type of effort.
Well, here's the thing that I think about when people talk about this. Like, Apple comes out and says, we guessed we would make this much money and we made this much money. And then all the analysts come out and say, we made up a number up here someplace and you didn't hit it. So clearly Apple is a failure. And then anytime Apple does something, even if it isn't, you know, if it's not 1,000% perfect, it becomes what Chris Rawson at Tuwa has dubbed Gamont's Law, which is, this never would have happened if Steve hadn't died. And that means you have no more credibility. As soon as you do that, we're done listening to you. But also, I don't remember that, and maybe this is because Microsoft didn't necessarily innovate, but the last time a tech company was this huge and this big a part of most people's lives, it was Microsoft. And I don't remember people actually ever coming out and saying, you know, it's been 2 years since Microsoft gave us an operating system and the new one better blow our minds or Microsoft is going out of business.
No, but no one expected. I know it's been funny, but no one expected anything of Microsoft. When Microsoft brought out a new operating system, we all sat there and goes, we'll give it a year and it might actually work. But Microsoft handled expectation in the way that they made your expectation so low that if something didn't
sucked.
Yeah, but if something didn't blow up when you opened the box, you thought that was a positive. Whereas exactly. Apple have gone the other way. You expect the world to change every time you open the most small, delicate packaging you've ever seen.
No, I was about to say, in terms of expectation and what's good and what's bad, that's all subjective. But as an objective measure, tell me when the last time was that a new product that was under £500 or $500 was launched by Apple, and 1 week after its launch, you could quite happily walk into the most popular store in the country in a large metropolis and wait in a queue of six people and buy one.
A large what?
A large metropolis, mate. Right, so 1 week
outside
after,
Ironbridge, that's what you meant.
Two weeks after launch.
Place with more than two coffee shops, Will.
At least one Starbucks that doesn't pay tax.
Go there, but they don't pay their taxes.
Is there a Superman there? Piss off, chat room. No, my point is, 2 weeks after its announcement, 1 week after its delivery, I walked into the Regent Street Apple store and I bought myself an iPad mini. Unheard of. You go back to iPhone 4, that would never have happened. You go to 4S, that would never have happened. You go to the launch of the iPad 3, wouldn't have happened. Now, there's two outputs for that. Number one, no one was that enthused about this product. The 16s had sold, the 32s and the 64s hadn't. There was loads left over, in inverted commas loads. A daily delivery. Or they manufactured so many of these that they could compensate for any delay or any demand that there ever was. Well, hang on a second. If you ordered online 25 minutes after these were launched, you got a 2 to 3 week delivery estimate. But yet these are all still in the stores.
Well, I think the problem with the actual, you know, the item you're holding, the Mini, is people are buying them as on top of having an iPad. Very, very few people I've heard of has bought a Mini as their first and only iPad version. And so it's not got the hurry or the anything else about it. I've got something that does that. Next time I'm in London, I'll have a look, and if I really like it, I'll go and buy a Mini. It's not like the phone or the iPad in itself. People don't have six iPads. They buy either a new one and sell the old one, or they get an iPad. That, I don't know anyone that hasn't got that in addition to what they've already got. So it hasn't got the excitement factor.
No, I agree with that. It's not a different product. It's a smaller product. And that's the problem with the iOS thing. Yeah, exactly. It's Apple has not done anything in the last year that has simply blown our minds. They haven't changed the look of the operating system. And all they seem to be doing now is let's make it thinner and let's make it smaller.
Yeah, but is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a bad thing that people...
DHM's awake. Christ.
Hey, I've just finished insulting Tim Cook.
The chat room want to know if you're knitting.
No, he's making a
either that or thinking about 10-story hotel rooms. But go on.
I just think that when you're in that position that Apple have been in for the last 5 years, I mean, there is at some point there is only one way to go, isn't there? And once you step off that cliff, then you better be ready for a pretty. I don't know. I think my metaphor is crumbling, but you know what I mean.
Like the cliff face.
Here's the real question then for me is I understand that the new phone is evolution, not revolution, even though it was from 4S to 5. Yep. And I know that Mountain Lion was evolution, and I know that iOS 5 to iOS 6 was evolution. It seems like some of those things have sort of settled in and matured a little bit, and it's a pretty known quantity what you're getting for the most part when you buy one of these new things, whether it's new software or new hardware. Now, is the problem that nerds and all the people who cover this stuff for a living all have gadget ADD, and so they go, I need the new thing, hit me with the new thing, and nobody does it, and so then they go, well, clearly Apple's going to fail. Or is this actually a good thing because muggles, as I like to call them, know what they're getting into. It's a known quantity. They understand what they're in for when they go buy something, and it's a much less scary experience because even if it's just, because people around them have these things sort of by osmosis, they've had some iOS experience or some macOS experience, they look at it and go, this is the way I want to go. Do you think that that's part of where the switching is coming from? And where, what did I just read recently? People who were asked about purchasing Windows 8 or who were ready to upgrade to Windows 8, like a third of them were deciding staying at Windows 7 or going to Windows 8, but staying at Windows 7 or going Mac OS. So do you think that this has something to do with that? That now that things have settled in, maybe the rest of the world is excited about getting something that isn't new and different and weird every year or two?
So you're saying that the upgrade path is a better one than the innovation path at this point in people's minds?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily better in people's minds as much as it is. Like, you can't expect Apple to blow everybody's minds every 18 months. I never did. So every time it happened, I was, pleased about it. Maybe that makes me sort of nerdy goldfish. But I never expected a brand new thing all the time. I never presumed it was going to happen. And I never figured that, every 18 months, Apple trots out another unicorn. That was never something that I presumed that they would do. So,
not me. That would be unusual, wouldn't it?
So I wonder if maybe this is, while it's not necessarily good for gadget nerds who have the ADD and talk about, I bought my, the whole article about I bought my iPad 3 and it was supposed to be the new hotness for a year and I only got 8 months to lord it over everybody and this is all Apple's problem that I have this attitude. Shame on them. I don't know that that guy, I don't think that guy's the norm. I think that guy's the exception. And I think for most people, it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, but I think you hit the nail on this upgrade or innovation. Now, the trouble with upgrade paths with Apple is because they have over-engineered everything in the past to such an extent. Take iOS, right? You can run iOS 6 on a 3GS, okay? So the big thing most people see is the fact that you can run a different piece of software or a different operating system or something like that. Now, if you're able to get the same experience without spending a fortune. Now, I've got an iPhone 4 here. It does everything on iOS 6 in every way that I want it to do possible. And I can run iOS 6. It's brilliant. If the 4S, it was just like, well, why the hell do I want to change from one to another when the one I'm doing runs exactly the same as what the the four Estas and the five. So when you've got this upgrade path rather than innovation path, I'm using a relatively old iMac in front of me now, and it still runs up-to-date software perfectly well for me, and I push it relatively hard. So for me, what is the point, unless you're going to innovate something really exciting for me to change, if what I've got runs everything that's still current and new and exciting in exactly the way that I need it to, there's absolutely nothing to get me excited about going to spend another $1,500 on a new Mac.
Yeah, I think that was the key point, is that if you looked at the change from 3 to 4, it was actually a very big leap. There was a lot of things that wouldn't run on 3 that suddenly would run on 4. There was the graphics processor increase, which gave you mind-blowing game graphics on a handheld device. And 3 really was closer to 2 than it was to 4 by some stretch. And even the 3S to 3GS up to 4 was a huge leap. But there's a lot more incremental value in it now. I think they haven't brought out a unicorn, as you've said, since iPhone first came out. Right. Because at that point, everything was, there was a laptop market, there was the pro laptop market, there was the student laptop market, there was the desktop iMac, there was the pro, there was the mini, and that was it.
Is a unicorn an analogy like a buzzword or something? Because I'm getting a bit lost by that.
No, I mean, it's someone was talking in the chat room and Kelly said about bringing out a unicorn, as in something that was unique and wonderful.
New and wonderful and mind-blowing and no one's ever seen one before. That was just sort of where I was going with it, yeah.
But I mean, I've got to disagree in the sense that I looked at the keynote that was there the other week and I liked it. I thought it was a good keynote. They brought out a whole pile of stuff. They've upgraded the entire range of products that Apple provide, and they've done some innovation within that. I thought it was a very, very solid upgrade. And if you were an investor, I would thought you'd have looked at that keynote and thought, they've innovated for the future. Well done.
But that was the first keynote when they'd done anything. But I hate to think how long it was.
Yeah,
we've sat through so many keynotes thinking, why are we here? You know, and then they did it. But my point is, maybe they overdid it on the fact that, look, we really haven't done it. People have been sitting there whining about the fact that our keynotes and we don't release anything worthwhile. We're just going to have to take a punt on this and release things, even if we're not 100% sure they're ready. Because another year of no exciting keynote, I think people would have really started to think, you know, there's something really... I mean, for Tim Cook himself... You know, another year with nothing exciting happen, people might think, you know what, he's the reason it's all not exciting anymore. So he had to pull something out of the bag, and to a slight extent, he had to take a slight risk with that.
I think they've stretched themselves over too many places, particularly with iOS. I mean, they're oversaturating themselves.
You can tell this is a non-Newsweek, can't you? Because we're getting all these opinion things. You know what I mean?
Well, steady on, Will. Steady on, because I'm about to release some new news.
Well, let's go for it. Let's move on.
Okay, jolly good.
You grumpy sod.
If you're a podcast user, you run the risk of having a very hefty data charge if you're not on an open plan. Apparently, iOS 6 had a bit of a glitch in it that meant that it repeatedly downloaded podcasts. Now, we had an extremely good September and October as far as podcasts went, although...
Now we know why.
Yeah, or I did have my suspicions that one episode of Mac downloaded 500,000 episodes. That's when I started to suspect that there was something up. Apparently, it turns out that iOS 6 has been doing multiple downloads of the same podcasts. And it's the video ones that have actually stiffed us and gone up. Typically, we did about 50 to 60,000 downloads per episode of the Mac show, and to go to 500,000 was just crazy. So something was definitely wrong, but that's what it was. If you've got a limited data plan, watch for your bill, because your bill is possibly going to be absolutely astronomical. I've got the 3 MiFi, and I've uploaded a few videos for customers to Dropbox this month, so I figured it had gone up a little bit, but I went through 15 gig in under a month. And I think what I've done is I think I've downloaded a shed load of video podcasts time after time. So fortunately, the 3 MiFi just stops and says, are you sure you want to carry on? It doesn't let you go on without confirming online. So it stopped and I just put my other card in. But I mean, has anyone else experienced this?
Well, it's one, first of all, there's a way around it. You can stop podcast app from automatically downloading. It just gives you a acknowledgement that there's a new podcast to download. You don't have to automatically. But I got caught with the other iOS podcast bug last week. I was sitting in a meeting at the school, a very important one about my little one, and we're talking away, and I could hear my phone buzzing in the background, but obviously I didn't want to answer it. And as soon as it hung up, it started to play the last podcast that I was listening to. And you could hear Russ Cluett and Carl Madden shouting about something across the room coming out of my coat.
No, I've had that. But that's been fixed apparently in 6.1.
Everyone said that's been fixed. I checked my phone and my phone has got the latest update. So I wiped my phone, I put it back on, I tried it, I left my phone there, I didn't answer it. Lo and behold, it started playing the podcast again afterwards. So it's still happening on my phone. After I updated, then wiped the phone, and then re-updated the phone, and it still happened. So that hasn't gone away because it happened to me.
Yeah, I had one the other week, but I wasn't sure whether I did it, I'd updated or not. Go ahead, Carl, sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say, actually, we were talking about that bug with the podcast app, and then also now with this new multiple downloads with your data plan. I've actually found the easiest thing to do is just install the app.
The app solves the problem.
Yeah, just uninstall it. Don't use it. It's a piece of crap.
I think it's all right.
I'm still not in love with it. Downcast to me is good. I'm not in a good mood today, I think. Apple's rubbing me the wrong way today.
Never mind. Kelly will be happy because Citizen have released a watch that links to your iPhone.
Yay!
Ooh. Now, I don't know if this is the watch. I got this off the story. But it vibrates when an email arrives. So it can do far more than just tell you that an email's arrived. And you can keep emailing yourself. But it's the Citizen Watchmaker. It's Eco Drive range. It's if you've got a 4S or a 5, then you can get it to vibrate when you get an email. Is this the kind of thing you were thinking of, Kelly? Or did you want a bit more?
Bit more, just because one of the things that I liked about the idea of it was that maybe it would display a notification for what it was, so it wouldn't just go off, but like if you had a text message, you could look and maybe see who it was from or see the message itself.
Well, mate, if it's a Citizen watch, you'd be lucky if it displays the time.
True.
You'd always put it next to your DAB radio and you'd get that noise come through.
Now You've got to admit, Citizen are not the biggest known brand for quality watches. They're certainly no Tag Heuer or Rolex. Yeah. It's £400, so $650 for this watch.
$8 billion US.
Yeah, I'm not paying £400 for a Citizen watch. No. Citizen watches used to be in Charles Watsit over the road for £25.
And it's not even like decent looking. It's got that neon green accent and inside the band, and the band may be leather, but it doesn't look like it. It just looks like a sport watch, and no thank you.
No one else?
I haven't tried it, but so all it does is vibrate a little bit.
If you get an email.
If you get email.
Is it worth that? I mean,
for £400.
Do you get, I don't know about yourselves, but when you get to a certain age, you get these sort of weird muscular twinges in your leg. And sometimes I wonder whether it's like I got a text message, or sometimes I wonder whether it's my leg.
No, it's just you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got that, yeah, where your leg hums. And it's not the phone, it's your leg.
It's a thing. It's a phantom vibrate. There's a thing about it, like a condition.
I get it. I thought it was. I thought I was dying.
Yeah, it's terminal, Will, not to worry.
It is terminal.
Yeah, sorry, Will. I mean, sorry, but this might be your last Christmas show.
Well, I was hoping that I had some sort of a weird... because I love Apple so much, maybe some of that Apple stuff has been sort of into me, and when I...
It's a phantom phone call.
Have we got, like... Right, is this the Apple...
The call is coming from inside your pants!
The Apple Tribbles episode.
We should... Can we leverage in the fart joke about there's a fax coming through or not?
Go on.
Well, I can't quite remember it now.
Apparently, this phone will buzz if it gets an email or a message or something like that. It can also be programmed to point to specific numbers and icons depending on who's sent it to you or who's ringing you. And also, when your time automatically changes when your phone goes abroad, it automatically changes the watch time as well as.
What a waste of time. What a crap watch. I mean, why bother?
That one thing is kind of cool. However.
Go on. £400, come on. $800.
£400, come on. Like, really. I don't need to pay $8 million for it. I just don't.
Buy a Mac Mini for that. No, you couldn't. Yeah, you could buy an iPad Mini for that.
Thumbs down.
And that vibrate. No, that's something. Why don't they have a vibrator in? That's a terrible word.
What about if they have a vibrator in?
iPads vibrate when you get things when they're on silent. How difficult would it be to have a little...
I thought you could.
I didn't think it had the...
It's got no vibration thing in it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that to me is really silly.
No, there's no vibrator. There's no vibrator in iPads.
No. I quite like the story about the iPad minis being better for your health. That's quite interesting.
I once did work for a firm that manufactured vending machines, and they manufactured a vending machine for vibrators that was going to go up in Holland, and it dispensed single-use vibrators. That was it. It was the first one in the world.
And the last. Battery life or?
I don't know how long they lasted, no, but they were single-use disposable vibrators. That's it. Excuse me.
You know, apparently, that information is always helpful on a Mac podcast.
Yeah, it goes down better when I've had a drink. No, that came out wrong as well, really. The Palo Alto store is allegedly the noisiest Apple store in the world. Apparently, some sad bastard decided that it was going to be really, really nasty. So he went into the Palo Alto store and measured the noise at the Genius Bar between there and the University Avenue store and found that it was 10 decibels higher at the Genius Bar in the Palo Alto store on a relatively quiet Saturday evening.
So he's extrapolated from that two different places that one is the noisiest in the world.
Allegedly.
I think you need to go to a few more places before you can establish that as fact.
Traffic in...
Yeah, you know where you should go? You should go to Mel's on any morning, on the Mel's next to Moscone Center, any morning that Macworld is happening. Because I remember when we were there, Victor got out, he had an app that measured decibels for stuff, and he set it on the table, and it was like 100 and something decibels in Mel's with all the nerds all eating breakfast.
Right.
Do they eat very noisily then?
Well, that's why you should keep your mouth closed when you chew.
It's everybody talking because everybody's waiting for food or you know, having some sort of meeting because it's a nice place to go that has a reasonable priced food when instead of eating food that's inside the convention center. So there's always people there for like a solid week. And so, yeah, it's
apparently nerds are noisy, say the chat room.
Yes, nerds are loud.
I was wondering whether that particular branch of Apple had a vibrating vending machine in the corner that was causing all the distraction.
It was vibrator vending machine, mate, not exactly. Vibrating. You can't tell the difference between 10 decibels anyway, auditory. Ridiculous. Normal speaking voice is 68 decibels, says Windrider. Thank you very much. So those of you who are into logs and that kind of stuff, if you can tell me how many people it takes to get 68 decibels up to 100 and something decibels in Mel's, then I'll give you a prize. There we go.
That's that thing that, what's that sound wave that makes people nervous? What's that one? That you can't hear. Is
it my wife's speaking voice? No. What is going on? What are you talking about? Low frequency noise?
Yeah, but it's got a particular name, isn't it? You get a lot on the tubes and stuff like that. And
white noise.
Brown noise.
Green noise. Green noise. That's always got me nervous.
Brown.
No, it's one that's meant to be your bowels, isn't it?
Jimmy Savile saying, come here, says Carl in the chat room. Batwench says it's brown noise, which I think's noise.
Yeah, isn't it? I thought it was the brown note. Maybe I'm not thinking of the same tone you the guys brown are thinking note. Of.
13 hertz.
Going back to Barney again, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, low frequency noise causes distraction and hallucination, allegedly.
Yeah, but it's got a name, hasn't it?
The brown note, apparently.
No, that's
the brown note.
Well, that's what the chat room's saying. I don't know. I've never heard of the brown note. Well,
called the green waffle.
It sounds like a really crap superhero, doesn't it?
No, it's brown.
Let's
nose.
Call the brown note, and we play a single tone at 13 hertz, and only he can hear it. And he comes and hopefully doesn't grab himself.
It was a story in the 60s written about this big... it was in the desert in Australia, and they used this big speaker, and it was a certain tone that...
7 hertz.
If you played it long enough, it was going to destroy the world. It was
it was liver vibration. They did it.
Well, it was in the 60s.
Sympathetic resonance.
Sci-fi
liver.
Thing yeah. It was.
Cyber Paul says a church organ's lowest... The what?
Infrasound.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, infrasound. And you get that a lot. So if you go to like a haunted location, right?
there's usually low frequency noise there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if they establish that there's a lot of infrasound, then they can dismiss some of the whatever, the reporting.
Apparently, it is called the brown note. There's a Wikipedia page on it. Paul says that a church's organ's lowest note is 16 hertz, which you can't hear anyway. The green waffle sounds much more mouldy. Mythbusters tried to prove or disprove the brown note, says Wind Rider. And DHM's put in the chat room, yes, it's bollocks. So there you go.
He could have said that out loud.
Does the brown note make everyone do a SH1T? Don't know, ugly.
In for a penny, in for a sound.
We've got one in our house, actually, but it's Hide One Direction CD box.
Oh, very good. Take your daughter's not in the room then. Booyah. No. Booyah. Bookery says, I am Inframan.
Remember to that bloke who was, what's his name? Bagel Man or something. I am Bagel.
I don't know who Lord that was. Bagel. Lord Bagel, yeah. We don't know who Lord Bagel ever was. Huh. I always reckoned it was Will, Russ, rather. But
I always got
Was Bagel. It you, Will?
Well, I can't say, but I just wonder what happened to him.
It was you then, mate. Right.
He'd have remembered what he'd called himself, wouldn't he?
Hey.
What was the idea behind the brown noise? Either that or it was your last Labour MP speaking. Labour PM, right. Lord Bagel, James Craft says. There we go. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're a fantastic bunch. They look after us. And we hope that we can look after them. If you want a .co.uk, today's the day. And next week's going to be the week as well. There were 2,000 .co.uk's released on Monday for your consumption this week. And there'll be 1,000 kicking around on Monday. And then the offer ends. When that 1,000 are gone, there will be no more. But if you go to our webpage and then click through and then use the offer code, you can get a domain name for 80 pence, if it's .co.uk. Any .co.uk you like, when the 1,000 disappear next week, that'll be it. There'll be no more. But you can get massive, massive deals from them. And Chris was on the F1 show last night, and Chris Wood said he had purchased a VPS. And he said it was great just moving the sliders around to find out what the VPS gave you, and then it would give you a price at the end of it. Really, really easy to do. Please support UK2.net, because they've supported us for 3 years and they're going to support us for another 2. So we're very, very grateful. And even with all of this excess downloading, thanks to iOS 6, they've picked up all the bandwidth and not said boo to a goose. Thank you ever so much to them. So please support them. They're wonderful. Also, it's the European Podcast Awards. If you Google European Podcast Awards or have a look this weekend, there should be a banner going up on our site if I get it done in time. And on there, you can click for 6 of our shows. So you've got Photo Show, Max Show and Big Show, which are the 3 that I'm on. Paul Wheatley's got the iOS show and the Gamer show up there. And Russ Clewitt has got the Media show up there. They're all available and up for an award. They've all been nominated. So we need you to vote. And vote liberally, please. Go there and vote 10 times a day for each podcast. All you have to do is vote for the podcast, then close your browser down, open it up again, and you can vote for the same podcast again afterwards.
You do.
Literally vote often.
Loads and loads and loads and loads. And Kelly, if you can muster some votes for us, please, please, please do. You can vote if you're not in Europe, but you can't enter a podcast if you are not in Europe. So
It doesn't matter. Whatever you do, right, you're doomed, because I know the judges.
Yeah, and they don't like us.
Oh, the judges know you is what you're saying.
No, all you have to do is buy them a few beers and a curry, and this has worked quite well in the past, and you're laughing. And really genuinely know the judges.
No, I know. It's Dave Thackeray's one, isn't it?
No, Dave Thackeray is... Well, he sort of runs it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But he's got this group of judges, and I know quite a few of them, and that's all you need to do. And hopefully, maybe they'll come to the British Mac meetup, and we could maybe have a few beers... And sort of,
but on know, this philosophy, Will, have you won then?
What's up?
Well, based on this philosophy of the fact that you know them and you can bribe them, have you won the award day in the past?
No, I haven't actually.
Sorry, it doesn't really work then, does it? I mean, we finished third last year, and we polled more votes than the rest, which pissed me off.
Well, no, we finished third by getting into the top 10.
Yeah, exactly.
But. Will there have to actually get into the top 10 before he could nobble them?
I was in there.
You were in there, yeah. No, Will was in there, definitely. We did a good showing, really, didn't we, Will? I thought.
I think so.
But we ended up with third, and if you're saying you could bribe the judges, then you didn't really do it very well, did you, mate?
Well, what I'm saying is...
Did you forget pissed and forget to ask him about nobbling the competition?
What we need to do is we'll get together. It's a bit like that football thing, isn't it, when... The football when they put the world next World Cup. What we'll do, we'll get them up the corner, bribe them with curry and beer, and then possibly violence.
No, you know what you want to do? Well, this is the answer. You get curry and beer in them, and you tell them there's something in the curry, right, that unless we win, we'll press a button and it will do something to them. So we'll only give them the antidote once the results have come out.
We're saving up...
Slow-acting poison.
We're saving up for Cocoa Pops, you know, a bowl that, that you've got a straw based in, right? So I've got loads of Cocoa Pops boxes. So we can make all, we can sort of stick them all together, paint them, right?
Right.
With a big danger sign and a big red button on. And we can say to the judges, you know, look, you've eaten this curry and there's something really dodgy in there. If we press this big red button, then you'll blow up and spurt. You know, you got to make us win. What do you think?
I think that's got absolutely no chance whatsoever, dude. you're demented. I've missed you, though. I've missed you, pal. Come back soon. The chat room, those people in the chat room who are not British are wondering whether nobble is a word. And Batwinch correctly points out, nobble is a great word. It is the word. Nobbling.
Not used enough, really, is it?
Terrorism for the podcast award. Yes, I think we should do that.
You missed that one story, which, in all seriousness,
go on.
Which I thought was really interesting, that the new Steve Jobs film, the official film, it's on the BBC right now, and the guy who's writing it and doing the screenplay for it, or the film play, as it were, it's divided into three, and that it's purely that. And each of those... So these three sections are all about the moment before Steve walks on stage to give a keynote. So there's three. One is going to be the 1984 keynote, and I don't know what the other two are. And as far as time is concerned, so those that sort of pre-walking on stage thing will last 30 minutes in real time for us and 30 minutes real time for Steve, as it were. So that, I thought it was quite interesting. So that's how it's, and that's all it's going to be, just 3 30-minute segments that are in real time.
Right, is this the one with Ashton Kutcher in it?
Yes.
I don't know his name.
That sounds crap. Are they not they're not making three films, though, are they, I hope?
No.
It's one film, 90 minutes, three
then you'll get a prequel.
Yeah, maybe. And The Hobbit.
And then they'll sell it to Disney.
But anyway, that's the score I read out on the BBC earlier today. And
right.
In some ways, it could be really interesting. For me, I mean, if we were talking to, like today, right, we're talking about the Apple products. I mean, really, they're incremental updates. And what can you say about them? It's, you know, they get thinner, they get faster, they get bigger or smaller. And that really is about it. The key... to the success of Apple up until the sad death of Steve Jobs was Steve Jobs. As far as the public facing, you know, great products, but he led that. And so I think what this film will do is combine those two really key elements, was great products and great presentation. And in some ways, I think it's going to be really good. And it's a new way, a different way of presenting his life. Why not? Let's give it a go. Let's not slag it off until we've seen it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tony in the chat room says, will it be called Lord of the Jobs Trilogy?
Jobs for the boys.
Very good. Right. Cool things. Alex G, have you got anything for us?
Yeah, just something that I had mentioned previously a long time ago, but I wasn't allowed to mention it. And I know it's been mentioned on the network subsequently, but I did some work on the Virgin Media app. It's called Virgin TV Anywhere. Let's get the title right. It's just an iPhone app, and it's obviously British because of Virgin Media is very British. And it just allows you access to control your box, your TiVo box. It allows you to watch things streaming onto your iPad, much in the same way as the Sky app does. It allows you to sort out all your recordings and arrange them, delete them, add them, change them. So if basically if you're out and you know, oh, that thing's on later, you can just flick through the menu and say, you know, it's the same menu as it looks like on the screen. So you just go to the channel and the program you want and just press record, and it will record it on your TiVo box for you. There's TiVo to TiVo function, which means if you've got more than one box in the house, if you're watching something downstairs, for instance, just press pause, you go upstairs to bed and you carry on watching it upstairs. And it just links everything together. You can watch your stuff over the internet. You can watch it through your network. It's got a function that allows you to watch it web-based. More and more will be included. At the moment, there's only sort of 20-odd channels that you can watch live, but more and more will be added, and I reckon within a few 6 months you might be able to watch basically everything.
So is this a Mac app?
The Mac, there's a Mac iOS app, which is called the Virgin Media.
Aye, aye.
I don't know what that was. Virgin TV Anywhere iOS app, and that puts most of the functionality directly onto your iPad.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. Free, if you're a customer, I take it.
Yeah, free. Free is a bird.
Very good. Mr. Swagger, what do you have for us?
Actually, I have we were talking about Dropbox a while ago, and this is actually from the same makers as Dropbox. It's called Cloud On, and it's a free app for your iOS. I believe it's just for iPad, though. I don't believe that you can get it for the iPhone, but it's just for iPad. And it allows you to bring in your Microsoft Office documents. You can sync it with your Dropbox and Google Drive accounts. It also has a Adobe Reader in it, so you can view like PDF, JPEGs, PNG, graffiti files, all of these things. And it's nice that you can sit there and edit your Microsoft documents and stuff too. When people send you something that's in like PowerPoint or I'm trying to think of the other because I haven't used Microsoft in a while. The just standard document file and these kind of things. So right. It's free. It's helpful, and if you're on the go, Cloud On is what it's called.
Cloud On. Excellent stuff. Kelly, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
Okay, so my pick is, it's sort of silly, but I'll tell you why I picked it in a minute. So the thing that I like about this is that I am out and about a lot, and so I need to have, I have cables that have to go with me. So I went all retractable so that my cable pouch would be smaller, and then I found this cable that actually lets me do two things at once. So you can see there, maybe, that it's 30-pin.
Yeah.
It's just a 30-pin cable, but if I pop it apart, it's now a micro USB cable. But wait, there's more. They also make one of these now that is a lightning end that you pop open, and then it's micro USB. And it's straight USB on the other end. You can plug it into a wall charger. If you have like your little iPad, like I travel with my iPad brick everywhere, so it'll charge everything. The cable will charge an iPad effectively, which means it will also charge your phone really fast. And they have announced, I don't think they're shipping yet, but they have announced the Lightning one, and they've also announced the Lightning ones for the car. This is a cable by a company called Skosh, which is spelled S-C-O-S-C-H-E. I want to make sure I get that in there. And I love this cable because now I have to carry one cable because my phone, in its case, I can use the 30-pin by taking it out of the case. I have a battery case.
Yep. Of course, you might for, yeah.
And then on the bottom, it's micro USB. So I can charge one or the other right now. Like if I just need my phone to get a quick hit of power before I'm headed out somewhere, then I can leave it at 30 pin. But if I'm going to leave it to charge overnight, I can just do this. It's good. An awesome cable. It's flawless. I don't remember what they cost, but anything that I've ever had by Skosh, I've always been really happy with.
Yeah. Skosh aren't cheap from what I recall, but chat room saying, can we have a link, please, Kelly? And could you stick one in the dock for us, girl? Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Good pick. Mr. Green, it's been a while coming, but what have you got for us?
Well, Okay, right. Here is my best app for iOS and the worst app for Mac ever.
All right, okay. The best iOS. They're not one in the same, I take it.
Nope, totally separate.
Right. So best app.
The best app ever for iOS. Are you ready?
Go.
Shop.
Shop.
Shop. Go shop.
On. Which is a shopping list app.
Yes.
It's, you recommended it before, I think.
Yeah, I have mentioned it before, and it keeps getting updated, and it keeps getting better and better. And just Shop. That's it's. So it's a little application that you. You know, when you go, you before you go to the supermarket, you write down your stuff that you need to get. And then when you get to the supermarket, you can cross it off and stuff like that. And if your wife has got some, has created a shopping list, then she can send it you via text message. Or if you're both using Shop on your iPhones, then you can open it within Shop and just, you know, cross off the stuff, and it remembers everything that you've ordered before.
Excellent. So what's the worst application for macOS then?
Aperture. Aperture is the biggest pile of poo ever. It used to be great. Now, I used to train people in how to use Aperture, and it's got worse and worse and worse, and now I believe it's the worst application ever.
But it hasn't changed lately, though, has it?
It's terrible. I mean, with the full screen thing, you think, well, I'll click the full screen, and I want basically the same functionality of in the small screen as in the full screen. But oh no, it goes to this big black abyss that's really difficult to navigate, and it's just awful. And it crashes all the time. It sucks up more memory than I've ever known any app, even Final Cut 10. Now this week I have spent hours and hours on Final Cut 10, and I really like it. And
love Final Cut 10.
It's brilliant. As far as UI, UX, and memory management is concerned, Aperture is the worst application I've ever known. It's terrible. Save your money, folks. Don't buy it. Rubbish.
Got to be a new one soon, though. It's due.
Yeah, but it's been... How long has it been? And same thing with
it's been more than Logic. 3 years.
I mean, Logic 9 has been out for, what, 2-3 years now?
More, yeah. 3 years. Logic 9 is desperate for an update.
Yeah.
I want to get it in the App Store. I want it to be £149.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one I'm going to add to the worst application. Can I more than one?
Go on then. Go on then, Will.
Compressor.
You'll get email.
Compressor.
Oh, no.
Pile of poo that is.
The audio compressor's crap, but the video compressor's quite good.
Oh, it's the most unintuitive UI and UX ever known. It's terrible. I mean, really, it looks like it should be...
you've only worked this out because you've actually started using those apps lately, haven't you? Now you started working for a living.
Well, I suppose so. Not Aperture, because Aperture's been frustrating me for a long time. But Compressor, yes, I have been using Compressor a hell of a lot recently. And I used to teach people Compressor, I don't know what, 4 years ago at Apple, and it's exactly the same. It's shit. Oh,
thanks, mate. 4:58 and 30 seconds.
Thanks very much, mate. DHM, what do you have for us? Any more editing?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if Will thinks the compressor and aperture is the worst that you could do for an app, then I can probably top that, because I've just been doing some bits and bobs, and I had to fire up, and I've got hold of the new version of Adobe Illustrator.
And yes.
Back in the day, I used to use Illustrator day in, day out.
Beautiful.
I used to be an Illustrator, and I used to illustrate in Illustrator, and I loved it. And then you could knock stuff off, and it was brilliant and intuitive, and I could draw everything. This new Illustrator CS6, the interface, I mean, if you think that anything that Aperture can come up with to be appalling can beat Illustrator, then I'd like to see it, because it is just cack.
I've got four.
Very good.
And CS5.
Anyway,
so.
I've got a pick.
Yes.
It is cack.
Go on then.
I've got an iOS app, which I heard about earlier today when I was driving around, and it's a brilliant, and it's called Chateau a Tree.
Right. What does it do, mate?
Well, the clue is in the first part of the word, chat.
I don't know where this is going.
Oh, I do.
It features
cats.
William James T. Kirk Shatner.
Oh, right.
The chat. Basically, he has recorded thousands and thousands of individual words, which you can then mash up on your app into Shatner poetry, which is then read in his voice over your phone.
Chateauetry. Is that correct?
Yes. Chateauetry. Yes. Create and poems in the voice of William Shatner and send them to your loved one.
And how much is this thing?
$1.99.
Oh, blimey. Might have to buy
funny
that.
Though, because don't the way he talks in real life, you're not going to lose any of the nuances just by combining
words
together.
No, he couldn't string two words together anyway, so...
It strings together and it sounds just like him actually talking in that... Yes.
It does make you why Apple spent all those millions of pounds and years trying to get Siri to sound like, a cognitive thing, when you could have just got William Shatner talking any way he felt like.
Is it on iOS or is it on...
Yeah, iOS. For iPhone 3GS, 4, 5, and iPad.
Chateauetry.
Yes.
Chateauetry. It's not coming up with anything.
No?
No.
Link in the chat room. Where's it?
No results for Chateauetry.
It seemed a bit strange. I reckon it's a dream. I think you've dreamt this one.
No, I've put the link in the chat room. You can click it. It'll take you there.
I would have thought more of a nightmare, actually.
Drunkard's nightmare.
But we should come back with the British version. We should get Picoetry.
Well, you could organise that.
I'm going to organise Picoetry.
I can't.
But he speaks fluently, though. That's the trouble.
Fluently Picoetry.
It's nice, but it's not funny. This is funny.
I can't get Chateauetry.
Look in the chat room, there's a link.
I know, but I found it on Chrome. I'm looking at it on Chrome, but I can't get my iPad Mini to get it.
It's a bug.
I'm gutted.
Oh, I'll be right back with you in 30 seconds if you want to do someone else's pick. Sorry, knocking at the door.
Well, we've just done yours, so that's okay. That's fine.
Can we get
him? If it is him, right?
Normally.
Go on.
Get him and rope him up. Tie him up, right? And then you can bring him on the podcast for next week. Keep him hostage. I mean, there's no way that Patrick Stewart's going to come on this podcast any other way, is there? So,
What are you saying?
Well, it'd be quite good, wouldn't it? We could get some sort of electric prong to, to join him into action.
A cattle prod.
Taser,
You think we're going to get Patrick Stewart on this show using a cattle prod rather than a polite request?
No.
I think he has got a point.
If he's at the door, we get him, we tie him up in a chair, right? Wait till next week. When he comes on, if we want a response, get the old cattle prod.
DHM, you've got to have a serious word with Jean-Luc and see if you can get him to do something for us, a voiceover or tell him he's got some serious fans here who would love to have him on.
All right.
Tell him you're going to put a virus on his machine.
Next time, I will ask.
Ask him to
even
listen.
If it's just on the iPhone as a voice memo.
Exactly. And tell him I was his first follower on Twitter.
You were, weren't you?
I was his first follower on Twitter. So I'm absolute manic. I think he's a great actor. So we'd love to get him on.
just threaten him. That's the way to do it.
No, we're not. Yeah, and then if he says no, say, right, well, the next option's the cattle prod.
Yeah.
Just listen to this.
Yeah. Right, my pick.
Bring him to the studio. I'm quite happy to have him in the studio for a week.
Angry Birds, Star Wars, in association with LucasArts. Holy crap.
Really?
I love it. Oh, just hear the music, you know it. And they've got some really nice touches with this thing. They've got a little like Luke Skywalker one that you throw him, and then you can do a swish with the lightsaber to bust through things before he goes on. And there's one that does like a Jedi mind thing where he. There you go. Angry Birds Star Wars, just addictively, brilliantly, wonderful, dandy. Kelly doesn't agree, clearly, because obviously her husband's playing it too much, is why she's got no birthday present.
I think the way they've made them look like the characters is brilliant.
They are. It's brilliant.
That's the only reason I bought it, because I wanted to see how they made them look like the characters. And they stand out. You can tell who's who. It's really, really fun.
Yep, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Fox?
Oh, you can get me at Alex G. Fox on Twitter, and possibly a Google Hangout after this, because we haven't done one for months.
We haven't done one for ages. I was only just thinking that, actually.
So I know there's a couple of people up for it.
We'll do a Google Hangout after this.
There you go.
There we go, definitely. All right, I've searched by the app developer's name as well, Blind Light Apps, and there's nothing. I cannot get Chateau Tree. I'm really pissed off with that.
You need a big iPad.
It won't. I can't find it. Maybe it's on. Mr. Swagger, where are you, boy?
Twitter's the easiest place, twitter.com/Kyle Swagger.
Excellent, mate. Good, good, good. Ms. Kelly Gamont, happy birthday, birthday girl.
Thank you.
I hope your husband enjoys his night on the sofa.
No, just not yet. That's all I said. I know there's a present. Yeah. I just don't know what it is. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/verso.
Right. Excellent. And host of several other podcasts.
I do guest hosting on Angry Mac Bastards, and I'm the host of one of the hosts, we rotate through them sometimes, at the Tuwa Talkcast over at TUAW.com.
Excellent. I've just searched Shatner, I can't get it. There's nothing.
You're obsessed, man.
I am, I want it. Mr. Green, where are
I
you,
told
pal?
It was purely a dream, you can tell it. A mile away.
It was, it's just bunkum.
Yeah, rubbish. BritishMac.com. That's me. British.
When's the next one coming out?
Tomorrow, I think. I've been working hard on it. And the video one's almost done as well.
Wow. People that are paying subscriptions will be pleased.
Well, it's pretty special. It's pretty special. I've been working on my floating head. So that's
wearing a green jumper.
You know, what I did is got the sort of, I had some spare material for the green screen, and I put it around me, and there's a floating head part to it as well, which is good.
Okay.
And also, I've been working on a joke for ages now, that I've pinched a piece of a... If I tell you what the... Okay, I've pinched a piece of a puzzle, right?
Right.
And then I hold up the piece of the puzzle, which is, and then I say, ah, another piece of the jigsaw. And that's it. That's the whole. But that makes me laugh and laugh and laugh. So there it is.
How long have you been working on that by any chance?
Oh, it took a long time, to be honest. To pull that sort of stuff together, it does take a long time. And I've got I tell you what, here it is. I've got a great interview with the daughter of the brilliant actor, John Clive. That's going to be both in the audio version, and I'm going to do an extended version in the video version. I've said version too many times.
Yeah.
And so John Clive, John Clive was in a load of the Carry On films. He was in Italian Job, a really, really well-respected writer and West End actor. So a really great interview about her dad's experiences with all sorts of Peter Sellers, Spike Milligan. It's a really great interview, so that's coming up too.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. And last but by no means least, D DHM, where are you, sir?
At Dr. Happy Mac. You can do that on Twitter, and you can do it on app.net. It'll get you the same result. Tons of me.
I finally got Chautauquatry too late. I can't do a piece of poetry, but it does exist now. I have got it. There you go. That was it. Create a Chatism. Drag words into the page and scroll to find more words. Tap here for a set of words.
Quick, grab some quickly and give us a blast of chat.
Oh, it's giving me a damn bloody... Jeez.
Anyway, I think I can download it. It's to load it onto my Mac and then transfer it.
Chat that. Fiery, suave, embers, you. Collect it, sleep.
There you go.
That made about as much sense as the rest
of it. It's a set of words, though. You can't put in anything. I can't put in Will Green's name.
Shut that. Pressures, fiery, letter, suave, embers, stout, you. Collect it, sleep, building.
So it's about as wooden as he's acting, really, then.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's almost haiku-esque.
We'll be back again next week. I'll have a play with that and try and get something more interesting out of it. Hopefully we can have William Shatner on as a guest, because that would be great if we get a couple of Starship captains. Oh, he's had enough. Swags is gone. That's it. He can't cope anymore. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Au revoir.
Happy birthday, Kelly.
Happy birthday to you.